I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome back to Radio Times. This year, there were plenty of movie sequels and prequels and prequels to sequels. Viewers saw Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone sing and dance in La La Land. They heard Meryl Streep screeching as Frances Foster Jenkins, who finagled a performance at Carnegie Hall, even though she couldn't sing a note. There were sad movies about grief and loss, including Manchester by the Sea and Jackie. There was diversity in films like Moonlight, Loving, and Fences. There was Sausage Party. There were two films about O.J. Simpson and a documentary about disgraced Congressman Anthony Weiner called Weiner, not to be confused with Weiner Dog. Well, today on Radio Times, it's our annual Write a Look Back on the Year in Films, and we have two guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studio. Neil Oxman, a regular for these movie shows. He's political campaign media consultant at the Campaign Group here in Philadelphia. Just informed me he saw 197 movies this year, not his typical number, which generally is over 200. But Neil, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thanks, Marty. Good morning.
Good morning. Also with us is Carrie Rickey, movie critic for Truth Dig, a contributor to Yahoo Movies, spent more than 25 years at the Philadelphia Inquirer, where she was movie critic. And Carrie Rickey, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning, fellow geeks.
Absolutely. 1-888-477-9499, the number to call us to join our conversation. Tell us about some of the movies that you enjoyed this year. You can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times and send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. So, Neil, what did you see this year that you liked?
My top 10 list this year, Deadpool, an anti-superhero movie, finally. Ryan Reynolds, who pulls it off. A movie that hasn't opened in Philly, but it played at the Philadelphia Film Festival, called Patterson, with Adam Driver, who plays a truck driver in a bus driver in Patterson, New Jersey. It's exceptional. The Edge of 17, a wonderful coming-of-age movie with Halle Steinfeld, who was in True Grit, the Coen brothers' True Grit. Fences, which, of course, was from the August Wilson play, which won both the Pulitzer Prize and the Tony. A wonderful New Zealand film, a little comedy called Hunt for the Wilder People with Sam Neill, worth finding online. Jungle Book, in a year of a lot of terrific animated films, I thought Jungle Book, which was both live-action animated, is one of the most beautiful movies I've seen, and Bill Murray is one of the animated characters, and he's hysterical. Viggo Mortensen in a movie called Captain Fantastic. He's never been bad in anything. And then three movies which made most top 10 lists: Hell or High Water, where I think the entire cast could be nominated for Best Supporting Actor; Manchester by the Sea with Casey Affleck, who, you know, in the role of a lifetime; and La La Land, which is an homage to you know, every great musical of the 30s and 40s.
We'll get back to that. Carrie, what's on your list? And I saw you do a couple of high fives when Neil was describing his.
Well, I love Edge of 17, and it's fantastic. It's not on my top 10 list, but it's wonderful. Top of my list would be Denis Villeneuve's Arrival with Amy Adams. I'm a sucker for these movies where aliens come and we decide to communicate with them rather than blow them up. I very much liked Everybody Wants Some, Richard Linklater's 1980s era story about a football player at Texas College who falls in love with a drama student. They both realize what they have in common is rehearsal and practice. And I very much liked The Fits, a no-budget movie from Anna Rose Holmer about young women, an 11-year-old boxer who looks at the girls in the room next door, and they're, you know, learning how to be becoming cheerleaders or dancers. And there seems to be a virus or a contagion among girls. And it's a really interesting symbolic story of teenage girls. And actually, so is Edge of 17, and I love them both. I loved Hidden Figures. I say their names: Katharine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, Mary Jackson. These mathematicians, all African Americans, you know, they're like the astronauts whose trajectories they plotted in outer space. And, you know, they contributed to the NASA space race. And this movie is like Apollo 13. It's how certain things bring Americans together in a team effort. And it's really moving and very funny. And God bless Taraji P. Henson, who's always great. Yes, I love La La Land, and it's not only the movies of the 30s and 40s it's a homage to, it's also homage to the Jacques Demy musicals of the 1960s, like Umbrellas of Cherbourg, and it's great. And as someone who's from Los Angeles, I say, the haters say it's La La Land, but we know better. Those who have seen the city at magic hour when the taillights on the highway look like a double string of rubies, that's the kind of magic the movie creates, and you just want to be there. I loved Moonlight, Barry Jenkins' movie. Imagine a movie in which a drug dealer is the hero of a community and listens to the children and helps them become the men they're going to become. Mm. And it's just a well of empathy and like a baptism of hope. It's a beautiful movie. Odd Year, a lot of the movies I liked best were shown on Netflix or TNT. I love The People versus OJ, the 10-part series on the American crime story. I thought I knew the OJ Simpson story. This is the story behind the stories behind the stories, and it's about today. It's about the invention of celebrity culture with the father of it all, Bob Kardashian. It's about brutality, police brutality against blacks, but also not how O.J. Simpson seems to be an official white guy. Very fascinating about it's about 1993, but it's also really about, 2016. I very much like Clint Eastwood's Sully. Huh? And it's about someone accustomed to being in control, a pilot, reacts to being out of control and how masterful he is and how much he has to suffer from the National Transportation and Safety Board because of it. it's just a great, tight Clint Eastwood movie about masculinism and personal responsibility. I loved Ava DuVernay's The 13th, distributed by Netflix, a fantastic movie about the 13th Amendment and how, although it stipulated freedom from African Americans, also said except those who are guilty of illegal actions. And so it's about the residue of slavery throughout since Reconstruction and how mass incarceration of African American men is a residue of that slavery. And I would say I really, really love 20th Century Women. It doesn't open in Philadelphia, I believe, until early January, but it's by Michael Mills, who made Beginners. And it's about a young boy and the three women, Annette Bening, Elle Fanning, and Greta Gerwig, who are his mother, best friend, and boarder in his house, who teach him how to become a man.
Wow, those are two long lists. I'm going to just do the names here because there's some crossover. Hell or High Water, Arrival, Moonlight, Manchester. Seems like that's on just about everybody's list. The O.J. Made in America I thought was incredible. And the documentary about that O.J. Situation. This is weird. I saw it on a plane, but I can't get it out of my head. And it might be a terrible movie, but it's called The Lobster, and I can't stop thinking about it. I didn't understand it, but I was thoroughly engaged. I loved Loving. I love the intimacy. I love the relationship. I believed it. I was sort of glad it wasn't in a courtroom, and I liked the fact that it was where these two people lived. I saw Jackie, which surprised me. I didn't expect much, and I thought it was a riveting performance, very interestingly filmed. The Wiener documentary, I know that, Neil, that was on your list as well. I kind of like Florence Foster Jenkins. I don't know. It was like a Woody Allen movie without being tainted by Woody Allen.
And Hugh Grant.
And Hugh Grant was Sarah.
An amazing performance.
Well, let me play a scene from the movie Arrival, and this is Amy Adams. She plays linguist Louise Banks, investigating a series of spaceship landings around the world. She's talking to her boss here, played by Forrest Whitaker.
Everything you're doing there, I have to explain to a room full of men whose first and last question is how can this be used against us?
Kangaroo.
What is that?
In 1770... Captain James Cook's ship ran aground off the coast of Australia, and he led a party into the country, and they met the Aboriginal people. One of the sailors pointed at the animals that hop around and put their babies in their pouch, and he asked what they were, and the Aborigines said, kangaroo. It wasn't until later that they learned that kangaroo means, I don't understand.
I can sell that for now.
Yeah.
And remember what happened to the Aborigines? A more advanced race nearly wiped them out.
It's a good story.
Thanks. It's not true. But it proves my point.
It's such a great scene. It's funny because the three of us were talking about before going on the air, like, what was this movie about? Was it what sort of time frame? How do you, why was this?
I just liked the mood of the movie and the way it looked. And of course, the acting was wonderful. And the writing I thought was terrific. So I don't. I always say suspend disbelief. Everybody else says suspend belief. I like the term suspend disbelief better. I mean, I never try to figure these things out. I just enjoy them at the moment and try to eat as much as I can.
All that good popcorn. How about for you, Carrie?
It just sent me into another place. Mm-hmm. I was between our world and theirs, and that's where it took place. And it looked like a Jim Terrell light box. It was just this other place, and I was interested in how their communication was like Japanese calligraphy, and our communication was vocal. And
there were scenes we obviously can't show on the radio because visually it was just so beautiful. And there was a moment in the film where literally my jaw dropped. I just went, wow. Carrie, you're a movie critic, and I didn't ask you how many movies. Do you know how many movies you saw this year?
I see a minimum of about 300 a year. About
how many movies did you see in theaters? Because I saw 197 in theaters with audiences.
She doesn't need to do that.
Well, I do see movies in theaters, and I prefer to. More than 200.
Okay.
But some people don't need to count, Neil.
No. Actually, some people do because I'm in a movie contest, and I think that watching a movie – with all due respect, on television is not going to the movies. This is going to the movies. And in our My Movie Contest, where my friend Gene Mason has averaged 320 movies a year in theaters for 32 years, which is extraordinary. Movies on airplanes don't count. You have to have the ticket stub.
I don't ever see movies on airplanes.
No.
It's the ticket stub.
I get it. But it's interesting. We're almost having a break here. But it's interesting how sort of TV is now sort of has become the place to go to the movies.
I think it's all filmed entertainment, and to make a distinction between them is probably not a good idea. But I do think that people who see movies on DVD or their TVs are probably losing out. On a lot.
Unless they have like a super system or
doesn't matter.
Like that.
It's being in the dark.
A tweet from TM. We saw Hidden Figures. It was wonderful. Folks clapped at a few places and at the end.
I saw it with a group of middle school girls who were giving it a standing ovation every 20 minutes.
La La Land.
That's the reason to go to the movies, right?
Yeah.
Right?
At La La Land, at the end of the first scene, people clapped. And at the end of the movie, people clapped. I mean, it was like being in the theater.
Well, we are talking about movies, as we are wont to do at the end of year, looking back on the movies of 2016 with our guest, Neil Oxman. He's a political campaign media consultant at the Campaign Group here in Philadelphia, loves the movies, loves going to the movie theater. Carrie Riggi, movie critic for Truth Dig, a contributor to Yahoo Movies, spent many years here at the Philadelphia Inquirer, also as a movie critic. And we want to hear from you at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email. RadioTimes@WHYY.org and tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with Carrie Riggi and Neil Oxman about some of the movies that we loved this year. Here's a scene from Manchester by the Sea, a movie that's on many people's top 10 list. Casey Affleck plays Lee Chandler. He's coming back to his home after his brother has died. He's dealing with his own tragedy and is working as a janitor in Boston. And here's a scene on a fishing boat where he's talking with a friend about the custody of his nephew, Patrick, and who's going to do what. Let's give it a listen.
Things are a little bit up in the air.
No, I can take care of it as far as the general maintenance is concerned, but that motor is going to go at some point.
I'm taking care of it. There's no allotment for a new motor. Unless, George, you know someone who wants to buy it.
Wait a second, I'm not selling it.
We're going to be in Boston anyway.
What? Since when are we supposed to be in Boston?
Just take it easy.
Well, whatever you decide, it's going to bleed you dry just sitting here.
We don't know exactly what we're doing.
Well, you know, he can always stay with us if he wants to come up weekends.
Do you want to be his guardian?
Well,
he doesn't want to be my guardian, for Christ's sake.
We're trying to lose some kids at this point.
No, we're trying to work out the logistics, so I don't know.
Pretty good, but
Jesus Christ,
we've always got a sofa for him anytime he wants.
George.
You know that, right?
That's all right. I know
he's welcome anytime.
I understand. I know. Thank you.
And a scene from Manchester by the Sea. The thing that I couldn't stop thinking about and watching were Casey Affleck's eyes. His eyes during this performance.
They looked almost dead, just a very small flicker of life in them. Yeah.
What did you like about this film?
Well, I think the acting is just wonderful, but the overwhelming sense of unresolved problems. Sometimes you can't resolve things, and that was just... It's very sad.
That was
so... You feel implicated in their lives, and there's nothing you can do.
I thought in maybe 10 or 12 minutes on screen, maybe less, Michelle Williams was just, it blew me away. I mean, it just haunting how she was. And it is, you're certainly not going to leave humming the show tunes from this, but it is, until I saw Fences with Denzel Washington, I assumed that Casey Affleck was going to win Best Actor. I don't know whether they'll give it to Denzel because he's so good in Fences and Carrie's. I mean, the movie is so dialogue driven.
But it's King Lear. King Lear.
It's unbelievable.
Well, there was a lot of, I think, were just good standalone performances this year. Would you agree with that, Carrie?
Oh, gosh. In everything. And ensemble performances. A great year of ensemble performances.
Which is nice to see, and also diverse. I mean, wasn't just like white people talking to white people.
It's interesting. It's the first time in a long time there was no Tom Hardy movie on my top 10 list.
Talking
about good performances and good actors. And no zombie movie. But if you want to see a great zombie movie, there's a movie, a Korean film called Train to Busan. BHUSAN, which is zombies on a train,
much better than snakes on a train.
Yes, I would agree with that. Well, speak of ensemble. Here's a scene from Hell or High Water. It's about two brothers and a bank heist. They're targeting banks that are foreclosing on the family farm. Jeff Bridges plays a Texas Ranger named Marcus, very close to retirement. And he and his colleague, who's played by Gil Birmingham, are trying to order lunch at a diner. Let's give it a listen.
Howdy, ma'am. How you doing today?
Hot, and I don't mean the good kind. So what don't you want?
Pardon?
What don't you want?
Oh, well, I think I'll just...
You know, I've been working here for 44 years. Ain't nobody ever ordered nothing but T-bone steak and a baked potato. Except this one from New York tried to order trout back in 1987. We don't sell no goddamn trout. T-bone steaks. So either you don't want the corn on the cob or you don't want the green beans. So what don't you want?
I don't want green beans.
I don't want green beans either.
Steaks cooked medium rare.
Can I get my steak cooked
just a little? That want no question.
All right.
Iced tea for you boys.
Iced tea be great.
Iced tea, yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
And again, a scene from Hell or High Water. See, I think that could replace the Five Easy Pieces lunch ordering.
It's pretty great.
This was my favorite movie of the year.
Was it?
This takes place in West Texas that Buzz Bissinger wrote about in Friday Night Lights. I thought both Gil Birmingham and Jeff Bridges as these Texas Rangers both could be nominated for Best Supporting Actor. The mood of the movie was great, and I just thought that the slowness, and I thought they captured that part of the world as well as anything else, and I think it's well worth watching.
And what did you think about Ben Foster and Chris Pine?
I just thought it was a great movie: two lawmen, two brothers, opposite sides, and. When I watched, after I saw it, I looked at my husband and I said, this is the America that is at stake in this election. And I'm sorry to have been proven right. But it just really seemed to me that this movie was about what the election was about this year. How do you get opportunity in a place where there's no opportunity?
Nothing. And you're just hanging on for dear life on both sides of the law in many ways. Let me get some callers in at 1-888-477-9499. We want you to join our conversation. We are talking about the movies that we enjoyed this year. We meaning myself, Neil Oxman, and Carrie Rickey, and playing clips from some of those movies as well. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me get Joe from Philadelphia to join us. Hi, Joe. Go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The movie that I wanted to mention was actually a cartoon, Zootopia. I did not expect it to be what it was, so I'm sitting there thinking, oh, just another Disney cartoon. I'll go ahead and watch it. And after I was finished watching it, I was like, yo, my mind was completely blown because they managed to incorporate, you know, a lot of issues regarding racism and stereotypes into the movie. I teach high school kids, and, like, a lot of them, they really like the movie.
Oh, wow.
You know, they were telling their friends, to like, yo, you have to watch Zootopia. So that was one of my favorite movies this year.
Well, Joe, I really appreciate the call to Radio Time. Sounds like you're a really good teacher as well, going to the movies that your students are recommending. Carrie, have you seen Zootopia?
Yes, because my daughter told me to.
Oh,
and yes. she just said it's really great. It's also the front runner for the Oscar nomination, I think. And
in which category?
Animated. Best animated film. And it made more money than God this year. I think it was number 6 on the box office. It did very well. It's a movie people loved, and it was actually good.
Oh, that's great. Were there some other good animated films this year?
I liked Finding Dory, but it wasn't as good as the first one.
The Secret Life of Pets.
Oh, very good.
Which is really fun.
That's really good, yeah.
Sorry, Louis C.K. but as one of the voices. That's another fun animated film.
And Moana is very good.
Ah, good. So. And you had mentioned Jungle Book, Neil, was one. And I saw that as well.
Right. And I mean, that actually made my top 10 list, not just for animated, but I thought that was – I'm fascinated by how they do this stuff, the animation. But this combination of live action and animation really, really blows me away when they pull it off. And they pulled it off in this. And, of course, it's Kipling. I mean, it's not – you know, you don't have to – it's a little hard to top Kipling. You don't have to go find some, you know – script being thrown over a transom someplace. It's there.
It's Kipling. Mm-hmm. Let me get John from Philadelphia to join our conversation. Hi, John. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi there.
The movie that I saw that just blew my mind was Nocturnal Animals.
Oh, interesting.
It was very disturbing, but put together, I think, beautifully, and visually it was done terrifically as well.
Well, interesting. We were also talking about that film going before the air. I have to say, I actually saw it last night. I did not like it. Over time, I couldn't figure out why was I watching this. But there I was watching it. John, let me see what Carrie has to say and also Neil.
I think it's fantastic looking, very stylish. And I like the Arabian Nights storytelling in it. And it scared the heck out of me.
Yeah. Terrifying. How about, did you see it, Neil?
Yeah, no, I have not. I mean, I agree with sort of both of you. I thought it was an interesting movie, but when I walked out of it, I got, oh, geez.
Why?
That was just, I don't,
why?
You know,
why?
But you have to see them, you know, but it was an interesting movie.
And there's Amy Adams again, right?
Right, and I'm... there are very few people, though, I would recommend that to. I mean, not that because it's above them or anything.
Right.
I know people only have a few hours to do it, and there's a lot ahead of it on the list that I would recommend when my friends call me and say, oh, what's opening this weekend? What should I see?
And that's the same director, Carrie, that did, what, A Single Man?
A Single Man, yes. Tom Ford.
Tom Ford, who's a fashion guy,
yeah,
right?
And that's why it's so great looking.
Well, this is about the opposite as you can get from Nocturnal Animals. John, thanks for the call to Radio Times. This is a scene from La La Land. Ryan Gosling plays Sebastian. He's a struggling jazz pianist. Emma Stone plays Mia. She's a barista, aspiring actor. And they are singing and dancing in this scene. Let's give it a listen.
City of stars, are you shining just for me? City of stars, there's so much that I can't see. Who knows? Is this the start of something wonderful and new? Or
La La Land, Ryan Gosling, apparently, according to Carrie Rickey, playing the piano.
And singing. And those two do more without professional voices than any other singers I've ever heard.
Well, you know, I was a little ambivalent because I looked at it and I thought, well, this is not, you know, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. It's not that.
No, but it's ordinary people, and it captures the way that you feel when something is promising, like a new relationship is promising. It has that... captures that moment.
What did you think, Neil?
I think it is a Astaire and Rogers and Gene Kelly in the last scene, an homage to An American in Paris. And I mean, obviously they're not as accomplished dancers as Kelly or Astaire or Rogers, but I think, or Sid Charisse, but I think that they pull it off. It's not Marnie Nixon dubbing.
No. They're really
singing. Stone's voice, she's really singing, and he is really playing the piano. And it's... If you like musicals, and TCM plays them all the time and it does well, I think it's really worth going to see this movie. It is a wonderful, life-affirming film.
And as you mentioned, I mean, there's an opening dance sequence, Carrie.
On a freeway that if you've ever been stuck on a freeway anywhere or an expressway anywhere, you will love it. All the pent-up rage you have in your car, it just explodes on the freeway with people greeting the day and dancing and kind of look. I mean, the whole movie is about looking forward to the new day and greeting possibility, which is kind of the opposite of Manchester by the Sea.
Or some of these other films.
It is embracing possibility. And Moonlight does that too. It just embraces the possibility of happiness and change.
And the director is Damien Chazelle,
yes.
Who also did Whiplash.
Correct.
Also another.
And Chazelle himself is a musician and was the drummer that Whiplash was based on.
But I mean, Whiplash was a tiny movie shot in a very finite amount of days, and he was able to get $30 million to make this picture, which was a big movie.
Yeah.
And
which is peanuts for a musical too,
right,
by the way.
But it's paid off. I mean, it's really paid off.
And I think it should be said that Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, I mean,
they're divine together.
They have chemistry.
This is their third movie together, and they're just wonderful. And they're good friends, and it shows. They're comfortable together.
You had mentioned documentaries, or we had mentioned earlier documentaries. You would also, on your list you sent to us, was Wiener about
right.
Anthony
Wiener. I thought there were some really good documentaries this year. There was one that played at the film festival that hasn't opened yet about the New York Times obituary writers called Obit. There's one called De Palma about Brian De Palma, Zero Days. But my favorite was this movie that you can't take your eyes off, both because of Anthony Wiener. It's a documentary about his running for mayor and his wife, who I've always found bizarrely fascinating and can't quite figure out, the woman who was the aide-de-camp to Hillary Clinton as well. And the way the sort of part of the election turning at the end this year, and watching this, it is really it is terrifically well done.
And that they allowed a film crew to document their lives.
And I don't know how Huma Abedin permitted that, but
because she's a self-promoting wannabe, and that's what she's always been. Period. Sorry, she's a self-promoting
rather than
wannabe.
A self-sacrificing.
No, she
wife.
Is not. She is as big a self-promoting wannabe as you want to be. I mean, she wants to be somebody. She's always wanted to be somebody,
but
and she thought she was going to be first lady in New York City.
Picture of a marriage.
It's a great documentary. It's one of those things like you watch and say, how do they allow it? How do they allow it? This one, Neil, I do admit I watched on TV. Yeah, I watched on TV.
By the way, there was another, my least favorite, but I thought that Ron Howard struck out with the latest version of
The Beatles?
The Dan movie. Brown movie, no,
oh.
Inferno. But the Beatles documentary, which was released at the same time as Inferno, I also thought was really good.
8 days a week.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
On my list. We're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation. Talking with Carrie Rickey. She's movie critic for Truth Dig, a contributor to Yahoo Movies, and spent many years at the Philadelphia Inquirer as a movie critic. Neil Oxman is with us as well, political campaign media strategist for the campaign group here in Philadelphia. He saw 197 movies this year. What movies did you see? 1-888-477-9499. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane, again talking with Neil Oxman and Carrie Rickey about some of the movies that we enjoyed this year. And we want to hear from you. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. Tell us what you liked, what you didn't like, perhaps some standout performances, and there were a bunch of them. And you can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. We talked about this film, Moonlight. This is Mahershala Ali playing this surrogate dad drug dealer, a guy named Juan. And this little boy named Little has been bullied at school and ends up being with Juan. Juan brings him home to his mother, who's played by Janelle Monáe. And let's give it a listen.
What happened? Huh? What happened, Chiron? Why you didn't come home like you're supposed to? Huh? And who is you?
Nobody. I found him yesterday. Found him in a hole on 15. Yeah, that one. Some boys chased him in the cut. He scared more than anything. He wouldn't tell me where he lived till this morning.
Well, thanks for seeing to him. He usually can take care of himself. Be good that way, but...
Little man.
And he does a fist bump. I just think, Carrie, and to you, Neil, there just wasn't a false move or moment in this film.
It's three acts. It's based on a play, and it's three very distinct acts. And to watch how a young boy in a world of disconnected people, how slowly he learns how to make connections with his drug addicted mother, and connections with another person is so difficult and so moving and so hopeful.
Yeah, and so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And we should say that we watch this young man grow up. So he's played by three different actors, fantastic.
It'll be interesting to see whether these actors in this movie are nominated for Best Actor or Best Supporting Actor, because I couldn't quite figure it out. But I thought their performances were that good that they could all be nominated.
Especially Mahershala Ali and Andre Holland, who plays the cook in the third act.
An act. Yeah, well, it is a play. I mean, it doesn't feel like a play, but and Barry Jenkins is the director.
And he's wonderful and sympathetic to all these characters. And these are characters we ordinarily would not be sympathetic to in many narratives. These are drug addicts, drug dealers, and they're heroes.
Yeah. You see it that way, Neil?
Yes. Versus Fences, which does feel like a play,
yes.
which is because very, very few sets, and it really is just almost the filming of the play just outside. But this didn't feel like a play.
Right. This felt like a poem, Moonlighting.
Yes.
Oh, a mistake here. Janelle Monáe does not play the mother. She plays Ali's girlfriend.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Forgive us.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Wrong name there.
Thank you
for that correction. Let me get, looks like Eva from North Wales to join us. Hi, Eva. Go ahead. Your own Radio Times.
Hi, Marty.
Hi there.
Thank you for doing the show.
Sure.
Last night I went to see Jackie, and I could not believe how it brought back a flood of memories from the time when I was little when all this happened. And I thought the music, the way it opened, was just incredible, the way they did the music backwards, taking you into an uncomfortable sound, and how at the end of the movie they showed you what they didn't show you at the beginning of the movie, where they showed Kennedy shot and in her lap, and it was incredible. And the movie theater was extremely quiet when the movie was over. There was not a breath in the movie theater.
Well, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Neil, you want to weigh in on that as well?
Yeah. First, the movie is very short. I mean, so it's watchable that way, tolerable. Because in some ways it's excruciating. And I think that Natalie Portman is I don't know what Jackie Kennedy sounds like in real life when she's having a conversation. I mean, I don't know how, but the way she portrayed it, I thought was really watchable and riveting.
With anger and tenderness and
fierceness.
Rage. Yeah.
I also thought that the camera work was so interesting. Yeah. So many sort of close-ups, sides of faces.
Well, it's interesting. It was all shot in France, and which is why the neoclassical buildings don't quite match up with those of the United States. And her accent is not like Jackie had a very whispery kind of Long Island lockjaw. Natalie Portman, it sounds more Bostonian in this.
Grey Gardens. She's like the women in Grey
Gardens. Like Grey
Gardens. Well, that's her family.
I know that. I could hear Edie Beale, speaking there. Eva, thanks for the call to Radio Times. You can call as well. 1-888-477-9499. Tell us about the movies that you enjoyed. We want to hear from you. Also, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. An email from Joe. What did you think about A Bigger Splash? And particularly Ralph Fiennes as dancer funny man.
Didn't see it.
Did you see
it? It's very sexy. Tilda Swinton, Ralph Fiennes. Ooh. It's very sexy. And fun.
And fun.
Yeah, we've been talking about a lot of very sad movies and grief-stricken movies, but there were a lot of good sexy movies and comedies this year, I think.
What other sexy movies should we put on our list?
Well, I think La La Land is pretty sexy. I think dancing is lovemaking. By another means.
Did you see Hacksaw Ridge?
I didn't.
Okay.
Did you?
Yes.
And?
Which has gotten rave reviews, and it's a war movie that's really an anti-war movie. It's a true story, and Mel Gibson directed it. And because Mel Gibson's had some issues, I think that I'm not sure it's done on the list like it should, because I thought Andrew Garfield is amazing and it's worth seeing. Mm. But in terms of comedies, we were talking earlier, go see Bad Moms. Go rent Bad Moms.
Yeah. Or it's probably on demand now. It's very, very funny, as is Edge of 17, as is, gosh, Love and Friendship, Maggie's Plan. There's a lot of very good comedies this year.
Maggie's Plan is
Greta Gerwig.
Right. That's the one that I thought was better Woody Allen than the Woody Allen movie. Yeah. Maggie's Pan is directed by Rebecca Miller, right?
Yes. Correct.
Let me play one more clip, and this is from The People versus O.J. Simpson. We mentioned this earlier. This is Courtney Vance. He plays Johnny Cochran, and these are some of his closing arguments in the murder trial of O.J. Simpson. Let's give it a listen.
Something interesting happened in 1985. Mark Furman responded to a call on Rockingham. He saw a white woman married to a powerful black man. He didn't like that. He didn't like that. Because he's a hardened racist. Mark Furman is the one who said, if I see an interracial couple, I'm going to stop them. If I don't have a reason, I'm going to make something up. So you have a lying Mark Furman, the personification of evil, who found the gloves. But don't be fooled. This isn't just one officer. Mark Furman represents the entire LAPD. Now, you may not know this, but you are empowered. Your decision has a major implication both in this courtroom and outside of it. Things happen for a reason in life. Maybe that's why we're gathered together. Something in your background, your character, helps you to know that this is wrong. Maybe you're the right people at the right time to be able to say, no more. We can't have this. What they have done is disgraceful.
And again, a scene from the People versus O.J. Simpson. Courtney Vance playing Johnny Cochran. To you, Carrie, then to you, Neil.
It was just an incredible 10 hours. It was on TV, but I say everything's filmed entertainment now. So,
well, was O.J. Made in America, though? That was a theatrical release?
That was a theatrical release and a documentary.
A documentary. Okay,
which
so
was also
right.
very,
very great. Right.
Very great and worth seeing and helping to sort of put this whole story into some kind of a context. How about for you, Neil?
I'm OJ'd out. I didn't see it. I do watch some episodic TV. There's a guy in my office, what are there, 450 scripted TV shows now? Literally, the Wall Street Journal actually a few months ago said there were 456 scripted TV shows. If you count Amazon, Netflix, everything that you can get that way. I spend more of my time going to the movies, I'm sorry, than been a loser life of sitting home and watching television.
Well, we will be talking about all those TV shows tomorrow on Radio Times. Again, an ensemble cast, Sarah Paulson playing Marcia Clark.
And I forgot the name of the guy who played Chris Darden. Fantastic, fantastic. But the big surprise to me was David Schwimmer as Bob Kardashian, who is kind of the moral center of the movie in a very surprising way. And you think you know what happened in the O.J. case because you either watched it or read about it. But I had no idea that the sequestered jury argued about the movies they wanted to see. I had no idea. I had no idea about a lot of this. And it was how that fed into the verdict. Yeah. And it's amazing.
Let me see what Tom from Cape May has to say. Hi, Tom. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times. Do we have Tom? Let's get
it. Great.
Hi, Tom. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Great. Thanks. Great subject.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, one movie I saw which I thought was great called The Eagle Huntress documentary. Have you talked about it yet? I'm not sure.
I don't think we have.
Great movie about a 13-year-old girl from a Mongolian village shot beautifully. And she wants to become the first eagle hunter from her village, from her town. That could be the first eagle hunter ever. And, boy, the townspeople are just hating that. And it's just an amazing story of her father's love for her and her his willingness to get her to where she needs to be to compete and to become the eagle hunter. So it's great.
Wow. Oh, sounds terrific.
I haven't seen it, but I hear it's fantastic. And some people liken it to the Maori movie Whale Rider about a young woman who wants to do something unusual in her tribe. But I can't wait to see it.
Thanks, Tom, for the call to Radio Times. A tweet from Carrie, an important documentary left out of the discussion, Gleason, Raw and Real. Did you see that, Neil?
No.
Nor did I. Tell us about it.
No, it's a tweet. Yeah. It's a tweet. I saw a Frank Zappa. Sometimes you don't know.
Yes, that was good.
This was Frank Zappa. Eat that question. Yeah. I happen to be a Frank Zappa fan, and it was a lot of old footage.
I wouldn't have guessed.
I've only done like a dozen shows about Frank Zappa over the years, but I thought it was terrifically involving and just such an eccentric but brilliant guy, kind of in his own, and difficult, you know, in his own words.
Interesting. It kept, I mean, I'm not a Zappa fan since I listen to, since my favorite big band is Artie Shaw.
There you go.
But
measles are going to eat your flesh.
I was really interesting. I watched it and wasn't bored.
Yeah. There you go. Let me get Ross from, looks like South Philadelphia to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Ross. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thanks. I'm a big fan of animation. You so often get pigeonholed as kids' cartoons. And I was highly skeptical about Angry Birds and the Trolls movies this year.
Yeah.
But they were really adorable and enjoyable.
And why does that surprise you, Ross?
Well, they came from a phone app and a keychain toy. And I didn't think there would be enough depth to actually score a whole movie based on that. And I was surprised.
Well, there you go.
Well said. Maybe you're going to get me to see Angry Birds.
Ross, thanks. Thanks for calling into Radio Times. Carrie, on your list you had The Lobster. I agree with you. The weirdest movie of the year?
I can't say that I liked it, but I was not bored, and it's a futuristic movie about a society, official society. Everyone must be coupled or is turned into an animal.
Right.
And the underground society, everyone must be a singleton. So it's really a very interesting political parable about what happens when you have thesis and antithesis, and there's no kind of middle ground between the singletons and the marrieds.
Starring Colin Farrell.
Who gained a lot of weight. I mean, he gained almost 40 pounds for the movie.
Oh, did he?
And Adam Driver lost 50 pounds for Silence, the new Scorsese film that will be out here in Philadelphia in a few weeks. A lot of people losing and gaining weight for roles this year.
Yeah, which is kind of amazing when you think about it. About a minute or so before we have to say goodbye. Any final parting thoughts, Carrie, or any movies we haven't talked about that you think?
Oh, there's billions, but I just wanted to say goodbye to Gene Wilder, who we lost this year and who gave us much laughter. And I'm just wanted to be grateful that Olivia de Havilland and Kirk Douglas hit 100. So we lost some and we still have some.
How about for you, Neil?
Movies are life, man. You got to go. You have to go. What else is there to do?
Well, and I should, not to end on a political note, but since you are a political campaign media strategist and consultant, I think for a lot of people, they just said, you know what? I'm not going to watch politics anymore. I'm going to the movies.
A lot of escapism this
year. Makes sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Movie grosses were up this year, although TV ratings for those shows for Fox, MSNBC, CNN were astronomical.
Were they really?
Versus football ratings, which were down before the election. But movies did very well.
Well, on that note, my thanks to both of you for coming in and joining us on Radio Times. Neil Oxman, thank you very much,
as always.
Marty. And he's a political campaign media consultant with the Campaign Group here in Philadelphia, so 197 movies. Carrie Rickey, thank you very much.
Thank you. See you at the movies.
Absolutely. She's a movie critic for Truth Dig, a contributor to Yahoo Movies as well. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times, and you can find out much more about the program. Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, Elizabeth Fiedler, and Trinae Nuri produce Radio Times in this week with Susan Greenbaum. She's back. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times. I'm Marty Moscowen. Thanks for joining us.